Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. We're back at you on Wednesday, December 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Tori's feeling a little better.
I'm on Tramadol.
Are you on what?
Tramadol.
What's Tramadol?
I don't know, but it's good.
Yeah, you sounded like you're tripping or something.
Kind of. He was like, no, this is going to be kind of heavy duty. I was like, bring it on.
Yeah, I know. You do sound kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was
slurry.
Yeah,
all right.
Excuse
me. As long as you admit to it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a bad kidney infection, everyone. I was about to go on Fox to discuss Trump and to, you know, bash him against a GOP strategist. And all of a sudden, I got sick in the makeup chair. And so I was not looking so cute. And the editor told me to go home. So we went to urgent care. Got a kidney infection.
Really? So what did they do at the last minute with your segment?
They just let the damn GOP guy go. I was
really?
So mad. Oh, I was so pissed. And I've debated him before, and we get heated.
Really?
So, and he's a lovely guy. He couldn't be nicer. But I was really mad that I was not able to support
lefties.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
My lefties were left unhinged on Fox. So I don't know if there ever were any watching, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I tuned to that Fox online and to see you and stuff. And all they had is like some baseball like they were waiting for a press conference or something.
Oh.
So it's just like a live feed of nothing.
Just a microphone. Just a,
yeah.
That's always good.
That's all I saw. So I
turn it off. That's good TV.
It's not going to happen.
That's great TV right there.
So it would have been funny if I watched the whole thing and then Tori's
not
on.
Yeah, not there.
Like,
no.
What the hell's going on?
No. So I was in full hair and makeup. I looked like I walked into urgent care looking a little bit like I was wearing a shorts, you know, like a whore a bit. Like I looked slutty because I was trying to look cute on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I'm full hair and makeup. They think, who is this?
Really?
And I'm like, my back hurts. But yeah, it's all good.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
We have a special guest here. We're going to bring her in just a moment. Busy week, I guess. Beautiful day again, right?
Yeah.
We have beautiful weather and stuff like you guys really care or like you'll care 2 days from now. But we are scheduled to have some rain, so we're looking forward to that.
Mm.
That should be pretty cool.
Exotic weather from LA.
Yeah, right?
A drizzle.
So we need to say goodbye to Alan Thicke.
I know.
Alan Thicke has died, and I'm sure many people know who he is. I remember him from Growing Pains.
He was everyone's dad.
Yeah.
He was, you know, everybody's dad.
Yeah, and he was what, like a psychiatrist or something on the show? Do you remember?
Think?
A psychologist. Yeah, a psychiatrist, yeah.
God.
And Jason Seaver was his name.
Yeah, and what's funny is I was, this is embarrassing, but I was tuning in to watch Fuller House, whatever, the new episodes are very funny.
Really?
Season 2 is very funny. And he is on that show on the first episode.
Oh, really?
And because it's funny, because he worked with Kirk Cameron,
uh-huh.
And Candace Cameron, who plays DJ on Fuller House, is his sister. So he played a date to Candace Cameron. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm watching this the day he died.
Wow.
And he was 69 playing hockey and he just had a heart attack.
Yeah, wow.
Oh,
that's pretty
sad, man.
This year
is the worst.
I know. But talking about TV, I decided to take your advice and take the plunge and started watching Westworld.
Whoa.
Do you believe that?
Well, there's a lot of nudity. How do you feel? You're
well,
happy.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. TikTok.
I'm just like the first 20, 25 minutes.
Okay.
So
take
it's
in short.
Take me a while.
Short
yeah,
spasms.
It'll
okay.
Take me a while.
There's a lot of nudity. You'll be fine.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did see a little bit. There was a little bit. Because I guess the robots and everything, they're always naked because they don't have clothes. On.
And sometimes they show the wang.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was really happy because it's always the woman.
Yeah.
Time for a little bit of something else.
So they show wang too,
they
huh?
sure do.
A schmeckle.
That's a good name for a dog or something. Schmeckle. Sit.
I know. It's funny how many words Yiddish is
Yiddish is great.
The language,
oh,
you know?
The best.
It is a funny language if you don't know the language, you know. I mean, I don't.
I only know from my grandfather, but he would say things like, oh, it's so fakakta.
Yeah,
which means, like, it's crazy. And I'm like, what a great word.
Right.
like fakakta.
And meshuga.
Yeah.
Ungapach. You know? Yeah. It's all words that are Yiddish that have been Americanized somehow, you know.
Yeah. And it almost sounds like a Harry Potter spell. You know, you're like, ungapach fakakta. Kashio.
And everything is with S-A-C-H, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, not that one, but.
This one?
Yeah. Well, never mind. We just mentioned it, like schlep, schmeckle.
Oh, S-C-H, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
schmeckle, schmeckle, schlep.
Yeah. Schmooze.
Schmooze.
Schmaltz.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. But the interesting thing is, for that sound, we don't have a letter in the alphabet, English alphabet.
That's
which
right.
is amazing, you know. So, and we have so many letters in the alphabet, yet many of them repeat themselves, you know, you know, when you have the letter C, for example, who needs it? You know, we have an S, we have a K, we have a Q, you know?
So people named Christina are like, we need it.
Yeah, exactly, you know? So letters like that, you know, letters that sound the same, you know? But, but otherwise, you know, it's, I love languages. I think it's really cool.
And
Yiddish is a mix of German, like old German and Hebrew and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very, a lot of it's going on in New York, I guess. You know, I don't know if that's a stereotype or whatever, but.
No, yeah.
A lot of Jews in New York.
A lot of Jews in New York.
Yeah.
I was listening to Gaga. Did you hear Piers Morgan? Went off against her PTSD and said maybe she wasn't even sexually assaulted.
Really?
It's not a good idea, I think, to piss off Gaga.
Right.
If you're going to piss off someone, Gaga doesn't seem to be a good person
she's
to
do got
it.
An army behind her, huh?
And she is strong.
Right.
Yeah. So she's going after Piers Morgan. What's he doing?
Exactly.
What a dick.
He's trying to make a name for himself. Nobody cares about
him. Who does that questioning sexual assault victims?
Right.
That's a terrible thing.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, maybe he knows something we don't. I don't know.
No, he said soldiers have PTSD, not other. It was dreadful.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So what does he call people that go through traumas? What's that for him?
I don't know.
Nothing?
I guess,
He
says, I come from a military family. It angers me when celebrities start claiming PTSD about everything to promote themselves.
Wow. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah. It's kind of a dick move.
Yeah. I don't like him. Never liked him.
I didn't either. He seems a bit...
Yeah, they gave him his TV show and he didn't last very long on CNN. He was boring. You know, he was meant to replace Larry King.
Yeah, and he likes to do this and trying to get you.
Yeah.
That's the worst Piers Morgan ever. But he always seemed to be... The one thing he was great at, and because he was British, was anti-gun. He's always been fantastically anti-gun, and he's held people accountable because it's mind-boggling to him. But everything else has been a bit, I'm just trying to get... He wants to be Trump. Remember, he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Wow, I don't even remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
But he... I think he's best on game shows, and that's it.
Yeah. You know?
What game show did he start at? Do you remember? Was it America's Got Talent or one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Uh-huh, yes.
That's how he started.
And he was like, you are a star. That is still terrible. I'll work on it.
It's a good British accent, but it doesn't sound like
it's almost Australian. It's actually quite bad. It's one of the worst I've had. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Finally, there's a couple more things we can debate him with our guest. But the good news is that they're saying at least 75% of ISIS fighters have been killed.
Yeah.
Taking them down.
And
finally.
And apparently there's a ceasefire, hopefully, in Aleppo, which is just like the most god-awful place on earth right now.
Right. And imagine all the... You want to talk about shock and traumas and stuff. Imagine all the civilians coming out of there.
Talking about those kids. My God. Anybody living anywhere near that. They said it's absolutely hell on earth. He said that people are saying there's bodies, dead bodies everywhere.
Really?
Everywhere.
Wow.
So hopefully there's a stop to the ceasefires for real, although I heard there was shelling earlier today, but... that place, and no one talks about it. No one really discusses Aleppo or Syria. I mean, even Gary Johnson, the third party, didn't know what Aleppo was.
Right,
and I'm
exactly.
like, oh, we are
Maybe
not
he thought it was a leopard or something, you know?
Yeah.
Aleppo, a leopard, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty much the capital of Syria. I feel like you should know. I feel like you should definitely know the difference between that and a big cat.
Yeah. But, Yeah, so that's a lot of soldiers. They said about 50,000 had been killed, and that's a lot in 2 years.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But
tides
but
are
that's
changing.
The thing. I mean, we were wondering, everybody was wondering, what's taking us so long to get at them and stuff, because, like you said, they have brought hell on earth here for all of us to enjoy, you mm-hmm. know? So I've never seen such atrocities in modern times like I would, you know. It's just not.
Yeah, it's like the Middle Ages. It's like the Dark Ages in Syria right now.
It is.
It's the
you
Dark
know what
Ages.
I mean? When you burn people, throw them off buildings and things like that, it's not a kind of life you want to
live. No, it's like the Dark Ages again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
And what's sad is there was very little human attention brought onto it, partially because the election took up all of our time and energy. You know, and I get that. That's important. But, I mean, it really was like, to me, Rwanda in 92 when you talk about Clinton. And I love the Clintons, again. But I know Hillary isn't the best person to have run, but I still enjoy the Clintons. And the one thing I've always been mad about or really hated about Bill Clinton is the lack of response in Rwanda when the genocide went on just like this, but worse, raping and pillaging and burning, not worse, but, and he did nothing.
Right.
And he says that's his worst regret of his entire administration. And his legacy is Rwanda. So it's like these things slip by us in the U.S. a lot of the time. And then we hear about it later, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do, man? The world is getting...
Reach out, people.
I think the world's always been a dangerous place. We're just making a big deal out of it now.
I think it's always been barbaric in a way. You know what I mean? Again, why bring kids into not going to...
Well, our guest is ready to talk. It's a little too early for you, I would imagine, Miss Sheena Metal.
No, I've actually become
Welcome
an early
to the show.
Girl. You'd be surprised.
Yeah?
Oh,
you get up early?
I do now, yeah.
Yeah,
just for Sam. No, Sam used to drag me in here. I literally would be dragging my bed and my jammies behind me. But no, I've become an early person since the summer.
Yeah.
I don't really like it because I don't like mornings. But
me neither.
Since I kind of cleaned up my diet and my act, it just is sort of, I just get up early now.
Yeah.
Now I know why early people are so pissed off all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, ugh, the mornings make you cranky.
And well, nauseous. Yeah. I'm always nauseous in the morning. I'm always
I don't eat in the morning. No.
Really? Yeah, I don't eat just coffee. But I don't know. I love early morning. I just never get to get up early or that early to just enjoy it. Like at a 6 o'clock type thing, you know, and just see the sunrise.
I have no interest in the sun.
No sunrise.
Sun.
No interest.
Zero.
No.
Wow.
Not even
I love
if I'm
daylight,
up all night.
Man.
Me too. I'm a sunset. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sunsets,
Corona.
Yeah, me too.
Sunsets. Twinkle lights on a beach. I'm in. Sunrise. Forget it.
Yeah.
So you guys are night people. I stay up late by necessity, but if I had the choice, I'd rather go to sleep earlier, get up earlier. But I've always been like that, you know. That's why the shorter days kind of depress me because I love the daylight, you know.
Yeah.
But there you go.
I like that, too. I don't like the short days. They're depressing. I agree.
I like it because I can drink earlier.
Yeah.
When it gets dark. Does that make sense?
I don't drink. And I'm really beginning to regret that this week. I'm starting to think maybe it's time to start.
Yeah.
Well, wintertime, a nice toddy.
Yeah.
No, but it's nice because you don't feel as weird going out at 5:30 to have a cocktail because it's dark.
That's right. You know? Yeah. And then you think it's 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. It's like,
yeah,
what?
Right.
You mean it's only 6?
Happy hour.
Yeah. So, Sheena, how are you, my friend?
Good. I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Good. I'm good, too. Everybody's good. Everybody's happy. Everybody living their lives, moving
Absolutely.
On.
Busy, busy, busy time.
Busy time.
So busy.
And do you like the holiday time, Sheena?
Sure. I mean, not particularly this year.
Not this year.
Because my mom passed.
Because you lost your mom
so
this
I
year.
So I have no more family. And I'm just kind of trying to coast through the holidays this year.
Yeah.
But
day by day. Just
yeah,
get through
I just
day
want
by
them
day.
To be over and I want to smile through them.
Yeah.
But usually, yeah, there have been times in my life where I've been way into the holidays.
Right.
The last few years I've been so busy working that I haven't had as much time to devote to it. But I like the holidays. I'm not one of those people that gets depressed or gets weird or gets angry when the holidays come.
Like when the music starts and you're like, turn it off.
Yeah.
No,
not that person.
Or like get depressed or anything. Or do you get sad?
Well, this year, but not normally. Yeah. No, I don't find the holidays to be sad. I just find it to be kind of an introspective time. And that's okay with me. I didn't grow up with a big family. It was just mom and me.
Right.
And I, you know, we would just hang out together and she'd make a whole bunch of food and the two of us would eat it. And for her, I think that was depressing because she always hoped there would be more, a big family in her life. Mm-hmm. She hoped that I would get married and have a million kids and that that person would have a million relatives and then that would be the big family. And right. It all just kind of never happened.
Mm-hmm. So she needed to have several kids in order for her to achieve that.
You know, the story was that she wanted to have 10, but she was so tired after the first.
Yeah, right.
And she didn't want to have another one. And she
Well, tell her, but your odds for grandchildren are not as great as if she had 3-4 kids.
She always would say that she wished she had started earlier and that people shouldn't have kids in their 30s because you're tired.
Too late. I am tired. I don't have kids yet. I'm 34 and I'm like,
yeah,
TikTok.
She was 30, almost 34.
Okay, great. Yep, that's where I am. I'm just tired. No, I'm not. I'm not. It's like I understand the point. It's like you have so much more energy at 27. Yeah.
But she wanted to get all her graduate degrees and do all of that first.
Good for her.
Right.
You know, so I didn't have a mom that was always kind of chasing her youth that she didn't have because she got all that before she had me. And that was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's
good. A lot of my friends' moms were like, you know, putting on Bonnie Bell lip gloss and making asses of themselves at dance clubs.
Probably having affairs and everything.
Yeah, and my mom just stayed home and read. She was so cool.
That's
she just
awesome.
Liked books.
Is this your first Christmas without her?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's my first Christmas.
That's hard. How are you sort of coping? Is there any like techniques you're using or anything that's helping?
Lots of friends.
Yeah.
Spending a lot of time with friends.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Latch on to other people that don't have family around.
Suck other people's happiness out.
Exactly.
Probably.
Or sharing their happiness.
Happy vampire.
Can I leave some of your happiness, people? Probably busier than I should be because I don't like to be alone at the house a lot.
Sure.
And
that's probably the hardest part is when it's quiet.
Yeah. Yep. And then a couple days a week I'm down at her house going through her stuff. So seeing friends when I'm down there and friends come over and babysit me while I do that.
That's
and
good friends.
Just friends. I mean, friends get you through everything, right? And just trying to think about how amazing she was and how lucky I was to have her and focus on all the years I had her and not the time I don't.
It's hard to go to gratitude when you're deep, deep within depression or sadness, but it's the only step out, I think, if you do gradual gratitude of what you can remember. That's the only way I've gotten out of it.
Today on our show, gratitude has kept me out of deep
sadness.
That's
what I'm saying. I've seen
year.
That too. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm a little numb too.
Sure.
And I'm sure I'm also so busy with, you know, banks and lawyers and houses and that I don't have a lot of time to think about it. And I'm hoping I'll just stay busy enough that I won't have a lot of time.
And it's funny, in Judaism, they have the Shiva, which is supposed to be 7 days where you go to your friend's house and eat.
Sure.
And it's supposed to be to keep you busy enough for the first 7 days of like the worst pain to keep you busy enough to not have to think about it.
Right.
And it's like, keep yourself.
A good idea.
It's very interesting. There's a psychological point of it. You know what I mean?
Well, with me, she passed on March 11th. And then 2 weeks later, I brought two plays into my theater company. One I directed. 2 weeks later was my big birthday bash at the Improv. 2 weeks later, I directed the Vagina Monologues for 2 weeks. So I basically didn't even have time to think about it until 3 months
which
later.
Which is a blessing.
So it
right
got
there.
Me through that first 3 months. I'm all about working through your problems.
Yeah, seriously.
Right.
Some people drink and eat through their problems. I work through my problems.
I'm a drinker eater, I think. I'm a drinker eater.
I'm a worker.
But I try to work while I'm drinking and eating.
I think when something bad happens to you, if you can put something good into the world, you can balance it out.
It's like,
so the sadder, the more upset I am, the more good I'm doing. You can always tell when I'm miserable because I'm out there hustling like a mad thing for the world.
Yeah.
But it takes my mind off it. Otherwise, I'll just sit and obsess and obsess and obsess. And
there's something called the Tonglin. I'm studying Buddhism, and they say like when real sadness happens, something that I've learned is I suddenly have so much more compassion for anyone else going through it. Anyone else in the world. Because I don't think I can have that empathy until it happens to you. So there's a Tonglin practice where not only do you work on yourself, but you work to help anyone else in the world at that moment that also has lost someone really close to them.
Yeah.
And it's a great compassion practice.
Well, and as radio hosts, we have the ability to sort of live out loud. So we can share what we're going through and our pain and our worry and our frustration and our anger with the world. And I think it goes beyond just when we're on the air. It's also when we're on Facebook. It's when we're on Twitter. And we can, others can learn from our lives by listening to us talk about what we've been through.
And being honest.
And that's a gift.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There you go. So to introduce Sheena Metal, you guys, she just mentioned radio and everything. Sheena and radio are synonymous. In the dictionary.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
And Yeah, you've been doing radio for a long time.
22 and a half almost.
Yeah, well, years. 22 wow. and a half years. Yeah. She's been on major stations. She liked to say that she was on the station where Howard Stern was.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So
years.
That was pretty cool, you know, to go on the air on the same station and stuff. And I had heard Sheena on the radio back then in the 90s, right?
In the 2000s, yeah.
Yeah. So I heard her on...
KLSX,
thank you, 97.1, wow. which was a talk station at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and then our fortunes met.
Yeah.
And sort of like by chance almost, you know.
Ships passing
people.
In the
yeah.
night.
Yeah. And it was love at first sight.
Absolutely.
We opened the second studio for the station.
Nice.
And Sheena sort of like anchored that one.
Yeah. Nice.
With her daily show. So you guys can still hear Sheena for 2 hours every day. And that's just if you have only 2 hours. If you have 17 hours, she'll be on for 17 hours.
Exactly.
But tell us exactly, actually, how many shows do you have?
I have
right now you have three shows.
I have three shows.
Damn,
right now.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm always adding more. So
always adding more.
Probably,
but
probably we'll have four soon.
Hustler, hustler.
Have had at 1.5. Here, because I was co-hosting with a friend who did a... My friend's a psychologist.
Oh, nice.
He did a show here for a while, and I sat in with him. Then he did a video show for a while, and I sat in with him.
Nice.
So I've had between 3 and 5 over the last couple of years. So right now I have a music show, a paranormal show, and my daily show.
Wow. Do you ever get them confused? You're on the music show. You're talking about spirits.
I have a couple times.
Okay, cool.
No, not with the content, but I have with the intros and
okay.
outros.
That's what I was going to say.
My abstract thinking is great.
Right.
It's all the short-term memory concrete
Gone.
Stuff where I'm just completely out of it half yeah. the time. So I have done that a couple times. I've actually had to kind of stop and restart the show a couple times. I'm like, hey, no, this is not the Sheena Metal.
No, it's not. No. It's completely different. The ghost had me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, even
yeah.
I don't do as much radio as Sheena does on the yeah. station.
And you know, January 5th will be my 8-year anniversary.
Yes, I was just thinking
this
about
will officially be the longest place I've ever worked.
Damn, you should get some sprinkles, cupcakes.
And we're celebrating on January 22nd at the Hollywood Improv.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm going to broadcast live from there. I do that 4 times a year.
Did you always want to do radio?
No, never wanted to do radio. I was an actor who took a job. Actually, James Bartolet, who has a show here on LA Talk Radio, he and I both had cable access shows, and mine had gotten picked up by a production company, and the Northridge earthquake ruined their facility.
Oh, wow.
And they put everything on hold, said, look, we may not even come back from this. It's a $20 million rebuild. So I was in a fetal position asking why God had forsaken me.
Sure, sure.
And I got a call from James, and he said, are you interested in radio? Because I'm looking to give my radio show up. I've got a new girlfriend. She hates that I'm never around on the weekends. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. It's an AM station in Glendale.
It's 2 a.m.?
Yeah. Wow. I'll give it to you for a week. They'll probably let you go in the morning. And I said, okay. So I went and did it. I told some people. The phone lines were lit up. And the next morning they called me, to fire me. And they said, you need 2 hours. And I was there for 3.5 years until I went to KLSX.
Wow.
It was a happy... But by the second week, I knew that it was my thing. I knew it was my calling.
I'm following your career. Hopefully. God, I hope. I was an actor, came out here, thought maybe I could try radio. And then I was like,
yeah,
felt it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still an actor, but I don't have that actor pressure anymore.
Isn't
it
nice
when people
to be
ask me to act, I say yes, and I don't worry about it past
nice.
That.
Nice.
Yeah. And you see, plus story, I see you more as someone on radio who gets to talk about actual things
yeah.
than playing somebody else.
Yeah.
Because they have so much to say, you
oh,
know? I mean,
Sam.
for you to be locked into dialogue... No, really.
No, that's very kind of
right?
you. That's very, very kind of you.
Yeah,
no, it's funny.
It's
when
an observation.
That's very kind of you. I remember thinking, I didn't really know hosting when it came out here in 07. It wasn't a thing on TV, really. And then reality shows started picking up, and I was on Reels. And I said, oh, my God, they're paying me to talk out loud. Why wouldn't we do this?
Yeah.
Fantastic. You don't have to be someone. You know, it's just you.
I like it. I mean, I love acting still, but I think that...
the industry's hard for me, I think. I got tired of... The industry got kind of wary on me a bit.
Mm. Well, but why aren't we still in the industry?
Oh, for sure. But I mean acting. But it, you know...
I just think, like a lot of actors, that if I had been nothing but an actor, after a while it wouldn't have been enough and I would have branched out.
Exactly.
So this has enabled me to be able to branch out young.
Yes.
And be able to always have this. And I think the older that I become... And the more spiritual I become, the more emotional and centered I become, the more being a voice becomes more important to me than going to a red carpet or being at an award show or spending 3 hours having my hair done.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you follow in your footsteps.
As you can tell by how my hair looks right
now. Your hair looks great. I think your hair looks great.
But you know what I mean? I just I've kind of moved into more of a, like a human purpose.
And a priorities, certain yeah. priorities.
And I love being an artist and I will always be one, but kind of belonging to the world and being a voice is more important to me now.
That's really
and more
cool.
and more yeah. all the time.
Evolving into yeah. that. Yeah.
And especially since my mom died. I think there's something about, there's things that happen in your life that kind of become like this, the landmarks of your life. And interestingly enough, I had a very bad auto accident when I was almost 24. And then my mom died. I was 2 weeks from 24, and my mom died. I was 2 weeks from 49.
Wow.
So it's almost like I've had a third life and now a half life mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Right.
And so something really creepy is probably going to happen when I'm 70-something, too.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I think hopefully as you pass those milestones in your life, you move more into what you should be doing.
And it's funny because they're like different chapters a bit and you don't know when they come, but you're right. Cliffs, you know, milestones happen. And my teacher always says, Pema Chodron, the next time this happens, do you want to be a little bit better at it or a little bit worse
yeah.
at your life?
Yeah.
And all you want to do for the rest of your life is try to be a little bit better.
Yeah. And that's true with people. And,
yeah.
it's true with, and I think probably like you, I was a little, there was a kind of a weird period the first couple of days after the election for me.
Yeah. And, well, I was just, my family was in mourning.
And all I, and that sadly enough was my mother's birthday, November 9th.
Oh my God.
When it was announced. So I kind of just, you know, wandered around in fog for a couple of days. And then I thought, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to be angry and rant on Facebook? Am I going to freak out? Am I going to march in the streets? And none of that is really me. So I started a peace and love movement called I'm Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World.
Wow.
And I'm just focusing everything into unity and love and how can we learn to live together? Because I love this frigging country.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want us all to be fighting and
me
freaking
too.
Out. I want everyone to just find a way to work together. I don't expect everyone to get along or everyone to believe the way that I do.
I just wish there was decency back. I just wish there was... A unification back, not decency, just more yeah. of a unification.
I don't know if there's ever been decency.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a fake, that's a phony
yeah,
decency.
Yeah, I think that's back in the good old
the
days,
50s, yeah.
everybody loved each other and burned crosses on each other's
lawns.
Yeah,
I was going to say the gay people didn't think that, or black yeah. people didn't think that, but yeah. no, I wish there was more, the unification that was, I know this sounds weird, but after 9/11, there was a true sense of a unification that I hadn't felt and since probably for in 63 when Kennedy died, my parents talk about the world, that America really came together and there isn't,
right.
that sense could not be farther from where we are now.
Right. Hurricane Katrina.
That's right.
So maybe you just need to run your car into a building.
We
and
need a crisis. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what we need to
But that's a special
together.
Problem with
I agree.
Humans.
It's a chimpanzee almost
yeah.
problem.
We only want to come together when we're all about to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I view Sheena as a big survivor. I mean, big time, you know. Oh. You have to be very strong with your life has not been easy. I mean,
no.
being an only child and
an
everything.
Only child, my right.
No father around, right?
Well, around, but didn't like me. My father didn't really want kids.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend says that he didn't want kids, so for 45 years, he just pretended he didn't have one.
Oh, that's lovely.
And it's kind of true. I mean, he didn't really want kids. And I don't talk about this a lot, but I'll talk about this with you guys. My father was sterile and didn't tell my mother because he didn't want kids. So he figured that she would just never get pregnant and that would solve that problem.
Oh my God.
And when she found out, she got furious, tried to adopt, but because she was adopted, they wouldn't let her adopt.
What?
They said she would bring like her PTSD, which we know Piers Morgan says
Piers Morgan doesn't say it exists,
into
right?
it. So she was reading a medical journal. My parents, at the time, my dad was working in New Haven, and they were working very close to Yale. And she saw a medical journal from Yale talking about this really novel concept called donor insemination. So she went to the doctor and brought the article, said, what do you think about this? And he wrote my obstetrician's number down on a piece of paper and said, go out the back door, don't pay, you were never here. She always called it the Joe sent me plan.
So she went
to my doctor, and apparently a couple doctors at Yale and a couple doctors at UCLA at the time were the only ones doing donor insemination. We're talking like 1964
wow.
because I was born in 67 and it took 3 years. And so basically they just at the time you paid a lot of money. And they gave you an anonymous donor and sent you on your way.
Wow.
So that's my
story.
So
your dad's not even your biological dad?
No.
Wow.
But he didn't want... I don't think that... It wouldn't have mattered to me.
Sure.
And I don't think it would have mattered to him.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
No.
So you see, that's tough growing up like that.
Wow.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, it's like you really have to learn how to survive on your own.
Sure.
And make it and...
But that's why you see when something goes wrong with her, she hustles, because that's all you've done all your life.
Yeah. And I keep going. That's what my mother did. She was an orphan. She was in an orphanage during the Depression. Her whole thing, and we're Irish. Her whole thing was hard times build character. Just keep smiling.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I just keep smiling.
My mother-in-law's Irish, and I'm like, you know, as a Jew, I'm like, oh, I'm going to worry. And she's like, just keep going. Just keep going.
It's an Irish thing.
And just I'm like, smiling. No. Yeah. You know, nerves. But it's a great way of living. I mean, it gets one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. It's a great way of living. We're the highest rate of alcoholics in the world.
Yeah, I know.
So clearly there's a meltdown somewhere.
Maybe it's working.
Yeah. All right. Well, so Tori, so when are you having kids then? Let me ask you this, though. What would be like a sign for you to say, I mean, at what point would you say, okay, I'm going to have kids right now. What are you waiting
for? So to be honest, I would love to have kids if I could make a living on the radio. Because then there's something about being a woman in acting and hosting where they want the good looking, good body, blonde, blah, blah, blah. And when that no one, you don't see a lot of pregnant hosts. The Daily Show just had the very first pregnant woman as a correspondent. And it was like mind boggling. So if you're on the radio, no, it doesn't really matter. And I sort of love
being
but
you're only pregnant for 9 months. You know?
No, I know.
So once you have the kid, then what?
Well, I'd still be on the radio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can still have a career.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure that's it's to me. It's every day feels different. And just like Sheena said, when Trump became president, and I read the news, and it's like global warming, overpopulation, horrible, horrible things are happening. I'm like, do I? And this is from the bottom of my heart. Who always wanted? I'm going to be a great mom, but I'm like, do I really need or want to bring someone into this world?
Wow.
Into America, and that's I'm not kidding. I think a lot of people.
You consider that.
That's not, and we laugh about it as a comic, a stand-up. I totally use it in my stand-up act, but it's a real question that I think you're ignorant and sort of thoughtless if you don't at least concentrate on it. So that's like the bottom line is like, I don't think it's stopping me, but it's certainly not a catalyst to get me to go there.
Right.
So...
No, I just figure there's so many people in the world anyhow.
That's what I'm saying. Overpopulation.
Do I need to make it worse?
That's what I'm saying.
So where I'm kind of at is maybe at some point if my life settles down, I would go adopt some older kids.
Sure.
My mom was almost 14 when she was adopted.
Wow.
So at older kids, it's harder for them to
Much
get adopted.
Harder.
And they're just sitting around while people are going to Vietnam to get babies.
I know.
There's tons of kids here that need homes.
Madonna's in Malawi. You're like, what about the Americans?
Right. So that way I can have some kids and I won't be so much older than them because I'll get them when they're older.
Right.
And then I'm not adding to the overpopulation problem.
And that is a real consideration.
It is a serious problem.
Yeah.
We're having too many children.
That's right. And I really love kids, but to bring it into a world where they just elected troll as a president. I mean, that really scares me. And I wonder I just wonder about it and I ponder about it and it's really hard.
Right.
And at 34, you're like, you don't have time to ponder about it.
So let me ask you this. I mean, if you really wanted kids and you don't like living in this America, you could be an expat somewhere for
like,
a few years, right?
I know. And like,
have
I seriously.
Your kids there.
I mean,
and come
I thought
back.
About, like, to be honest, Finland, Norway, those like Denmark, Sweden, they have an awesome lifestyle. They're constantly the happiest rate of everything. Great paternity leave, great maternity. I mean, they really open.
But would you want to live there?
No. Have you that's the thing.
Okay, why not?
Have you ever spent time with any Nordic people? They're very cold.
It's not a warm place, literally or figuratively. She's right. I was in the fjords, and it's a strong culture that it doesn't feel like America. So I would just miss. I don't think I could do it, but
I think
thought
you'd
about
be the
it.
Only one talking.
I think
just
I would.
All be sitting around.
But then there's a lot of compromises. I mean, you've been to Italy, you've been to England, right?
Yes.
So these are different places.
Yeah,
that you could
I think I'd miss my family. I think I'd really want to be closer to my family. So it's hard. You're just it's pulled in every different direction.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. But that's the thing. You really have to think about: do I really want kids in the first place?
Exactly.
You know, don't. Don't bow to the pressure from
That's
anybody
right.
and family either, because it's just as likely and possible that you'll never have kids, or if you do, you'll adopt or whatever.
Exactly. So I think the options are on the table. It's just because as a woman, you have a time limit. So it's like tick-tock for certain decision-making.
But not for adopting.
That's right. I'm saying for certain decision-making, there is a timeline. For certain ones, there aren't. So you just have to constantly be on the ball and thinking about it.
Right.
So... It's a confusing, but you know, you try and have a lot of compassion with yourself and unconditional friendship. I have a lot of self-deprecation, so I'm working hard on it.
Right.
I'm like, you know, you yell at yourself and then you're like, you're not so bad. Step by step.
Wow. So we're talking to Sheena Middle joining us. Sheena is pretty much a radio whore, if I do say so myself.
I kind of like
you see,
that.
I can say that to Sheena because
like it.
That's
true.
What she
because
would say
true.
About herself.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm a whore.
You know?
I'm a camera slut. I love me on camera.
I'm always trying to think of new places to put my voice and, sure. and new areas where my voice belongs.
Sure.
So.
And that's why we love having you, you know, because you always have great things to say. You have a great temperament, great mannerism yeah. about yourself. You're personable, and you always have a lot of things to say, you know. Yeah. And I think that's that makes somebody makes people want to be with them.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and stuff. So I think you attract good energy.
Sam,
good
with
people.
The compliments.
Yeah,
okay.
No, really, because
no,
I
we kind of dig each other. It's a love fest.
Oh,
right,
I love
but
that.
But also because I feel. I don't say it so much as a compliment as an observation.
Sure.
I want people to know. And if it happens to be a positive thing,
sure.
it sounds like a compliment. But those are things that I really think both of you guys should focus on is really what you love to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and don't bow to any pressure or anything because it's never too late for anything.
Here, here.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and then I'll say, now that we're spreading the love, that this is absolutely the most wonderful place I've ever worked.
Oh, wow.
And
I love
working here, because when I was working somewhere else, there was a time where I thought about giving this up. I thought, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I'm not cut out for this business. I was going to retire, and I was going to open a bar and teach and start a theater company and go behind the scenes and just be thankful for the time I'd had on the mic. And I was driving home one day, and I said, I give it up. I'm happy I had what I had. I'm happy I have enough of a name that I can get some investors for a bar. I'm going to retire and become a behind-the-scenes person and just foster the community from that standpoint. And the next day, I got a call from Sam.
That is so insane.
And the day that I met with him, he offered me the show.
That's insane.
And so...
You've always been offered the job, like, right on the spot, almost.
So it was such a surrender for me, and I thought, okay, this is it. This is my shot. So the first day, I was sitting in our first studio where I was, right about for the microphone to come on, and I said... I don't care who owes me money. I don't care who screwed me over. I don't care who I'm mad at. I let it all go. And my whole life changed. And I am 100% can say the last 8 years of my life have been the best years of my
wow.
life. And the years I'm the happiest with me. And I've grown in leaps and bounds. And it's all because when you work in a place where you feel safe and you feel loved and
mm-hmm.
you feel fostered,
mm-hmm.
as an artist, it changes everything about you. And I can't thank you enough for
well,
that,
Well, awesome.
Friend.
Awesome. Wow. That's so, nice to say. Well, here we go, everybody. Give us a little...
Yeah.
Applause.
We're all fantastic.
For us all. And I always cry a little bit because I'm Irish. We cry all the time. You'll get used to it.
You know, trust me, I am used to that.
We're self-congratulating today. But no, really, I mean, the thing is that Sheena took an opportunity and ran with it. You
sure.
know, now she got to build her own brand.
Mm-hmm.
So she does like a million things, right? I mean, you've got your hand in so many different things. You know, she gets... She gets an entire control of the improv for a couple hours every few months,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
I mean, her own show. She fills the place.
Yeah, and they'd never done that before. They took a chance on me, and that was awesome. They said, I said, I want to do this. I want to broadcast my show, bring in celebrities, have a red carpet. They said, we've never done that before, and that scares the crap out of us, but we trust you, and we're going to give it a try.
Yeah.
And now it's this huge thing that
and
we,
how
we've
many
done.
Have you done there already?
I think we've done 10.
10
wow.
already? Wow.
Yeah, improv's the hardest place to get in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they gave me the whole night. And just
unbelievable.
Let me, just let me. Yeah. And they just, I don't even have comics. I just sit there and have guests.
What,
and
what's it called?
It's called the Sheena Metal Experience Live.
Okay, yeah, wow.
We call it Sheena Metal Experience Live.
And she brings in
live.
Celebrities that that have been on her show and stuff. She has a lot of celebrities on her show. I mean, think she has to fill in 2 hours every day with celebrities 5 days a week just for one
Plus
show.
Plus my genre
you know?
Shows, yeah.
Wow.
So that's a lot of people that you meet.
That's easy.
That go through the station, and that's amazing, right?
When you're a people person, though, and you're definitely a people person, it isn't hard to be like... To book or find people, is it?
Yeah. No, I book myself.
You,
I reach out myself.
That's right,
It's just about, just be kind to people.
Yeah.
And don't be a douche.
Yeah, don't be a douche.
I mean, if people,
don't be a dick,
if people come and have a good experience with you, then they're going to come back and tell all their friends. So I don't even really have to seek people out anymore. I just let people refer people to me.
It's weird. As soon as you say it, you surrendered, every time you talk about it, when you surrender, things come to you.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I know this is like, Jesus, take the wheel. But it's like when you
but
can,
it's kinda like that.
It kind of is a little bit like that. You know, it's like when you can do that, which is a huge leap. And a huge scare. That's what I always tell you. It's the Indiana Jones scene where he used to walk across the bridge, but there is no bridge.
Right.
And it's like, and he takes that one step, you know, and he throws sand on and he looks real hot. It's like that. It's like that is, there's nothing scarier, but there's nothing more productive, I think, to get things to move.
Well, and I think as artists, we're always kind of like, we get come into this business and we're like, I'm going to tell this business what my career is going to be. Yeah. And then the business is kind of like, you know, F you, go away. and it took me literally until I was 40 to learn that you kind of have to just go with the flow and let the stuff drop down in front of you, and then you just grab it.
It's
not about going after it. It's about just being ready and letting it come to you. Because all this stuff, more things have come to me in the last 8 years than in the 40 years before that in my life, because I stopped trying to grab at everything.
Mm-hmm. Attachment.
And just waited till it was with me. And it's, you know, I know that sounds so airy-fairy, but it's what's
it, and
me.
It works. And like when I go to auditions before, I would be like, hi, I'm Tori Shulman.
Me too.
Hey.
Sure.
Do you want me to get you some coffee? And now I'm like, if I just don't give a shit, I always book it.
Right.
I went in for an audition and I did some Spanish guitar to the air guitar Spanish to the Eagles playing Hotel California because I just didn't have anything else. They wanted a kind of variety show. Now I'm going to be the co-host because I didn't give a shit. Yeah. And it was like, they could tell.
Right.
You can read it, you know? So it's like, yeah, surrender. Just, yeah, that's, it's
just
so hard,
it
though.
Just be what it's going to be, right?
I can't even dive off a diving board. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I
got some
it.
Issues.
Yeah, I got some issues, too. Yeah. You should see me in an elevator. I rode an elevator 12 stories last week, Sam.
You did?
I did. I did a party at the W, and
you did not have a choice.
And I did not, with our friend Rebecca Fearing, who does Dancing with Ghosts here. And
she's a psychic.
Sure.
A very good
she
one.
Said, oh, it's at a restaurant bar. And I thought, oh, it's going to be on the first floor. And then the day of, she's like, it's at the W on the roof. And I thought, oh my God. So I avoid elevators at all costs.
Have you always?
Yeah, I've never liked them. Yeah. And I thought, I can do this. It's for Rebecca. It's for a friend. I'm going to do this. It's a party. Here I go. I had to get in three times and get out. Because not only was it an elevator, but it was my worst fear with an elevator. It was one of those concrete shaft ones that only has one stop. So there's no floors. There's just one and 12.
Yeah.
So,
easy.
Like so they shoot you up.
Yeah. So I go to get in and it's the whole thing is padded and it only has red lights in it. And I'm like, this is the elevator to hell.
This is.
I know what this is. So three times I got in and then a whole bunch of people got in. And I'm like, oh, I got to check my text. And I got out. And the last time it was just like three guys and me. And so I just kind of like just, you know, just da, 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 da. And about three quarters of the way up, I thought, and it was really quiet. You couldn't even hear if it was moving. You couldn't feel it.
So you didn't know if
you
were stuck.
Loud music in there. And I'm like,
we're stuck.
Shouldn't we be here by now? And then it opened up. I got out. It was fine. Then when I went down, Rebecca was like, oh, come down with all of us. And I'm like, oh, God, now I have to be in with people I know. And what if I, like, poop myself? So I get in and we start, and I immediately start talking like, hey, that was great. How's everybody doing? Like, if I just talk enough, I'll pass the time. And again, about three quarters away, I thought, are we stuck? Shouldn't we be there now? And then I kind of heard it go at the bottom and I'm like, oh.
Thank God. Yeah. What is your, I'm very fascinated by phobias. What's your fear? Claustrophobia or the fear that it's going to get stuck? Or
Well, that is the fear it's going to get stuck. Claustrophobia.
But okay, I got it. Some people have a weird thing with like not being able to see out. You know, it's different for each person.
No, I don't like that either.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's part of claustrophobia
okay,
too.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine being stuck in the express zone. Yeah, that is kind of like confining, you know?
Right. If I can see it go boop.
Boop, you can hear it.
I'm at 2, I'm at 4, I'm at 6, here we go.
That's right. You should have just made booping sounds.
Yeah, but boop. There's that idea of, you know. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one time I had to ride an elevator to the 25th floor for an agent I had, and it had one of those things where you could go up so far, but if you got in the one that went up to 25, it was the straight up until you got to 12, and then it started booping.
Right.
So
right.
I took the one to 12, all the way to 12, and then switched and took the other one all the way up. So I wasn't in one of those express elevators because that's scary. You know, as a kid, I didn't have it. It didn't happen until puberty because sometimes, like, as a kid, I went to the top of the World Trade Center.
So did something trigger it or nothing?
It just started.
Oh, that's weird. I have a fear of whales really bad.
Yeah.
Why whales?
Well, when I was 3, my Aunt Dottie, my great aunt, took me to the, in New York, to the National History Museum, and there is a life-size blue whale hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah. And that was like huge. Are you, for
I don't
you,
even
right?
like to talk about
it's
it.
It's beautiful.
I love whales. They're very matriarchal. I don't even like it's too big.
It's too big.
My
for
thing
you.
Is my thing with is the big.
It is kind of scary. And you probably
saw size
the movies.
Does matter.
I know.
Did you see the movies with whales?
No, like, I can't watch a, I can't even watch Pacific Life commercials because of that damn thing jumping up at the end.
Oh no.
I don't like I mean I can't.
You mean the one in New York, right? In
Yeah, the New York.
Oh god, that's one of my first memories is that blue whale.
See, now mine too, but apparently I had a full psych out and guards had to come and escort me. I was three and I had a full-on panic attack.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I love whales. They're gentle
you.
Creatures.
Do you think of them under
I don't
the
want to don't okay. make the thing. Okay. Don't make the wave formation,
God.
Please.
I'm sorry.
But it's funny, you have to, you feel and you have to explain that you like them and everything.
Because I think whales are wonderful. They're like elephants. They're very intelligent.
I love elephants.
And they're feminists. Yeah. They're all matriarchal. So
but
I should love them.
But you're trying to rationalize something that's scaring you on an emotional level. And it's funny. But,
okay, so here's what happened to me when I was... Look,
forget about the whales. But I did want to ask you about elevators and stuff.
Sure.
Do you also feel like that when you go on an airplane?
Yes, but it's better because one, it has windows.
Yeah,
two,
windows.
It has a bathroom.
Oh.
And three, it has people that that can get you out the door if they have the code.
Right.
Worse on planes since they started locking all the doors. And
oh, so your thing is I can't. I physically, literally couldn't get out the door.
I don't like
door.
Situations I can't get out of. One time I went to Vegas.
So an airplane, you couldn't get on then? You can't.
No, I do it, but I breathe.
You can't get out of a situation on an airplane. You go in for a few hours, man.
Don't scare
You're
me.
You're stuck up there. I'm,
no.
I know. I'm
no, no,
sorry.
No.
But
I, no, no, no. I agree.
That's how I've been lately.
But at least it's bigger. There's a bathroom, and I
windows.
I'm telling you the truth. I take a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
I have tranquilizers.
Oh,
for
lots.
When I fly.
Yeah, that's a normal thing.
Okay,
for people.
So here's a story.
Good for you, as opposed to me, having taken an edible before I got
well, that's
on a
the same
flight.
Thing.
No, he freaked
no,
out.
No, not at all. I freaked out, Sheena.
Oh no!
I never done that before, and that was a pretty potent edible.
You need to get a little anti-anxiety tranquilizer.
Can you imagine?
I take Xanax.
I take Xanax.
So
Xanax is like a quarter Xanax.
Oh yeah, it's
for babies.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because I don't drink or anything, so my body's like
much.
For babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, not me. I need about probably four pills or something.
I don't even like anymore, and I did when I was younger, but I don't even like rides at Disneyland.
I was gonna say, what about
I get motion
roller coasters.
Sick, so I can't ride roller coasters and stuff anyhow. But I don't understand why people want to go and lock themselves in. Okay, so here's my story. So I go to Vegas to go to the IMAX, and it's the IMAX, the Lions of the Serengeti, and I'm like, oh, this will be fun. We get in there and we're sitting in these really stiff IMAX chairs, and there's a bar, and I'm like, what's the bar for? Then they say, welcome to the IMAX at the Luxor. And the bar starts coming down. Now, imagine I'm like 100 pounds heavier than I am right now. Seriously.
Wow.
The bar starts coming down, and it kind of gets like tight. So for most people, it's just like a bar. For me, it's like now like I'm having an intimate relationship with it. And they're like, you will not be able to leave your seat for 45 minutes during Lions in the Serengeti. Why they got to strap you in to watch a movie about lions? I can watch that at home on the Discovery Channel without a bar.
Yeah.
Right.
So I see the thing starting to come down and I'm like, oh no, oh no. And my friends are like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I literally, 100 pounds heavier, jumped up from the seat into a squatting position on the seat.
Wow.
Jumped up to the arm, climbed from arm to arm over people, jumped into the aisle, ran down the security door going, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. And I'm running down the stairs, and this guy comes running after me. He's like, miss. I turn around, and I'm like, And he's like, it's okay. Somebody does this every single show.
Whoa.
We have a chair in the front. You can sit there.
Oh,
so there's one little chair in the front where, of course, you can't see anything because it's in 3D. So the lions look like I now have, you know, I now need to have laser surgery. I saw like six lions all mashed together. But at least I wasn't in that chair. And he's like, we really should think about it because somebody freaks out every single screening. And I'm like, why do you have a bar for lions?
Yeah, why are you going to get out of your seat or what's the danger? Why is there the bar?
I don't know why the bar is
there. That is very weird.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
No, that's very weird.
Yeah, no. So I can see claustrophobic things happening, and I'm very good at like
getting out.
Like when I can see up ahead that the cop is doing the thing on the freeway where they twirl back and forth and slow the traffic down. I'm like, and I'm getting off the exit.
Yeah.
So
I know every time I see that, I get a heart attack. You know when they start slowing down the traffic.
I just get off.
I've never seen that. I don't
really
like,
when a cop starts weaving in the middle of
the
freeway
down.
And they slow it down, then they can stop it. But the moment you see that, you go, oh my god.
I get
I'm
off.
Be stuck.
It happened to me once the other night, and
if you can get off,
I've gotten so good about traffic. I was like, "Oh, I'll just wait this out." We sat there for an hour and a half
and didn't move.
And I'm like, oh, I should have gotten
up. See, this would have killed me. This would have killed me.
Yeah, so now
that's when you start doing your meditation breathing. And it's like, I last for 2 seconds. I'm like, what else is on the radio?
Yeah, exactly.
I call friends. Yeah, I find having a phone in the car is the coolest
that's
thing
true.
That's ever happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You can call somebody.
I didn't know you had that, too, that you get a little, you don't like to be stuck places.
Yeah, I've got that.
I'm so sorry.
No, what's there to be sorry about? I mean, it has been
sucks.
Pretty. Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm not as eager to fly anymore.
Yeah, you've had a flying thing.
So how do you get to Israel?
And well, this has been happening lately.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I haven't gone to Israel in a few years. And I don't think I ever would take a 14-hour flight.
Yeah, like is it stopping
again.
Is it stopping you?
In a way. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I freaked out over an hour's flight to Sacramento, for crying out loud.
Oh, I thought it was a long flight
because I used to want to get on and just go straight through and just be there.
Sure.
And then one time I took JetBlue and there wasn't enough fuel and it was like a 10-hour flight by the time it was done. So now I book Southwest where you make like 4 layovers.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
So you go up a little bit, you go down, you walk around the airport, you go up, you go down. I don't have a problem with the up and down. Some people do.
I don't like
the stuck in the middle. So
I don't mind. And I like getting off, getting a good Bloody Mary, getting back on, getting another Bloody Mary, getting back on.
Exactly. Get some water, take another Sarax.
That's right. We're just all fucked up in the sky. There you go.
All right. Well, Sheena Middle, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course,
you're always fun to have you. Tell people how they can listen to you, how they can find you.
Sure. The best way is I'm at SheenaMetal.com. My daily show, The Sheena Middle Experience, is at SheenaMetalExperience.com. You can find out about all my other shows from those places. Haunted Playgrounds at HauntedPlayground.com. Music Highway is at MusicHighwayRadio.com. And on social media, I'm at Sheena Middle everywhere. And please visit my movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. It's IamRaisingTheVibration.com.
There you go. Hallelujah to you.
Hallelujah.
All right, Tori, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thanks
the best
everybody
show ever.
For listening. Well, thank you. That's awesome.
Amazing.
For all of us. A lot of love going around.
Oh,
yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening as always, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.